Good Monday afternoon, or good Monday afternoon. Yeah, it's a Monday afternoon, and welcome back from the weekend for those of you that were listening to my weekend show yesterday. You were all familiar with what we talked about. I know that tomorrow is a payday for those of you that are getting paid. Tomorrow, you can throw a party, just not at the cemetery. Please. Now, with that out of the way, let's get back to a home run discussion. Now, this is Home Run with Helmed and Dwight, as always, like you just heard from the wonderful jingle, the classic work of yours truly, Team Dwight na Helmta. And as usual, we're here until the hour of 6, and with yet another exciting discussion. And today's discussion is about education. Now, this for those of you that are not familiar with last week we talked about education in terms of its professionalization. And today's discussion is going to tie somewhat into that discussion a bit, into that topic a bit. This one is more on a global level because it, you know, we're talking about it on a UNESCO, basically on a United Nations level. And that's following the fourth, that's basically in line with, for those of you that are not familiar with SDGs, aka Sustainable Development Goals. Goal number 4. Basically, every topic that Helmed and Dwight are going to have, or every developmental project you have around you, is tied to one of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Because we are a UN member state, everything development is going to be tied into that. If it's housing, is going to be tied in. Now, if it's take for example the income grant. Yeah, you know the different types of income grant we covered, I think, a week or two ago, falls somewhat in line with with goal number 1 and number 2, and health, universal health care, we also, I think, to some degree talked about that either wholly as a topic or just as part of a different topic. Good health and well-being, that's goal number 3. Now, today's discussion is about, today's discussion is based on the recent Global Education Monitoring Report 2025. And that one also ties in, falls under SDG number 4, which is quality education. Now, we are going to be going back to 2015, and then we can come back from there all the way to 2025, because 2015 is heavily emphasized in these discussions. Now the global education monitoring falls under. It was brought about, courtesy of goal number 4 of the SDGs, so quality education. Now, we talked about the professionalization in terms of levels of education, but that discussion was more on a national level. This one, we're going global. Mr. Dwight?
Yeah, we're going global.
For some reason, kind of weird to call you Mister.
And I've had Sir, Mister,
really,
Uncle.
Okay, now those.
I just don't fit the top people yet, you know.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we won't make a joke about that, Albert. Please. It'll come out weird. I've seen weird enough memes about that.
I'm trying. That. Oh hey. Oh okay. So we already saw that. Okay. Anyway.
I'm just stopping it before that wagon pulls off with its own donkey, which will have us end up for some reason in Tsumkwe, and I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Anytime soon. Not that I've ever been to Tsumkwe. I would love to see the place.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah. So yeah, we are going global. The interesting thing here, Helmut, is that obviously, look.
Where is it just me, or it's almost impossible to find a PDF version of this report?
No, but they house it themselves.
It's a...
It's a PDF document online, how much you can download it directly.
Okay, maybe I was on the wrong website because I was like, yeah, okay, how the heck do I get this?
Yeah,
I just kept visiting it, basically reading it online.
Yeah, if you search it as the Global Education Monitoring Report 2025, uh-huh. you can. There's a function, a button somewhere. Most UN documents are open access or open information depositories.
Yeah.
Apologies for that. Yeah, so most of them are in that scenario. But the global instinct about this, Helmut, is the theme that's... the theme that's literally on this 2020... Okay, so guys, 2024-2025
yeah.
Global Education Monitoring Report. And they speak about leadership. Now, Helmut, not... I don't want to call it an abstract... I don't want to call it an abstract subject matter. Yeah. I also don't want to sort of like diminish the particular reports, you know, the insights that they're looking at, because they zoom in on a human quality.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. It's not like you and I are pre-installed with leadership qualities.
Can leadership be taught? So we're back to that old time, you know, old age, you know, philosophical question, basically.
Yeah. The downside of such a particular, of what I just said now, in terms of that they're zooming in on a, man, it's something that you can't grasp it. You can't take hold of it. You can just see it and sometimes also interact with the particular quality, because I'm calling it a human quality. I'm calling it a character trait. I'm calling it all those things that are not tangible. All those things that are not like you can measure this particular person's leadership qualities by the following metrics. And the downside is, Hamoud, it obviously depends in a nation building scenario in terms of to what extent do you see this leadership trait, this leadership dimension, this leadership function. Because I'll tell you today, Hamoud, there are people that work very well in certain leadership roles, in certain scenarios, and in certain sectors. And if you now come up with leadership discussions in an education format, yes, the report cites, you know, it's not just principals, it's community leaders, it's school boards, it's the ministers, it's the decentralized government officials that are there to help the schools in the far-flung areas of the country. And when you tap into in each of these levels designated in this report in terms of that leadership has to be the particular... I don't want to call it a metric even, but it has to be the particular quality, the human quality that has to achieve this SDG 4, quality education. Now, you and I will then ask each other, okay, so we mentioned the various scenarios. So this can be community, this can be household, this can be teacher, this can be principal, this can be the inspector of a particular school circuit, this can be the education officer in the regional office, this can be the whatever department in the Ministry of Education, the directorate itself, the deputy director, you know, you can scale all those particular levels up, and then you can obviously see how long the chain of command would be, which would be one of the particular scenarios in a Namibian context, which probably could be a negative or positive, because in many cases you will have a lot of detractors that would come and say, you know what, a government has to be small enough for chain of command or for information to travel pretty quick and to be pretty reliable in terms of information dissemination. But then the core function that you sometimes, or the core, let's take the word core out. But you go sit with another particular interesting expanded or an expansion slot, if I can use that kind of terminology, an expansion slot to the same subject matter that asks you the question specifically of, is it really leadership? Or is it potentially, for example, the kinds of people that are installed in certain positions? Now, please, guys, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying or not arguing potentially to now go and look at qualified, unqualified people, please. What I'm citing is primarily, you know, are these various levels that contribute to the education sector, do they have an aspect where they are allowed to give proposals, suggestions, to try and improve on a thing and try to do something? Or is it potentially the individual in their particular motivations? Because if you just come and say, because the event that obviously took place a little bit earlier where this report was launched, Helmut, was that the Minister of Education, Sanan Steenkamp, indicated it's not just about money. It's obviously trying to empower people in terms of allowing them to do something. But does the empowerment work in line with the overall educational goals, or does the empowerment work in line with, in terms of, you know, what's the scenario on the ground? What's the unique scenario on the ground? Because to say just empower people, we are assuming that every school ground or every school infrastructure is the same thing wherever you go in the country. And just last week, our colleague Anna Kleta had the lovely story about the school in Ndama, which is not even supposed to be a school, which is a concerted effort that's improvisation by community parents who want their kids to go to school. They don't want their kids walking 6 kilometers to Rundu and back. Mm-hmm. And they literally went and lobbied for individuals to be teachers who are not employed fully in this particular aspect. They don't even get paid anything, so they're working as volunteers. And they realized they needed an intervention for these kids themselves. Now, if you're looking at the level of intervention there, which is empowerment, improvisation, initiative, as well as also determination to achieve certain particular goals for a new generation, which is technically also being dubbed as being the generation that might be doomed. We will leave that conversation to another level. But to intervene...
Please don't open a can of...
to intervene for those young kids.
Yeah.
For the minister and, you know, and the prime minister to visit that settlement the week before last week, obviously, you know, sort of like sensitize them to the particular needs that existed there. That's the reason why I just spoke with Anna Kleta and asked her, what were the needs on the ground of the community around this makeshift school? And then you got insight in terms of seeing, okay, so what are the issues there? Lack of transport, lack of infrastructure, lack of other services being available. So you could see the particular deprivations perpetuating past the school, Hamoud.
Yeah.
And not just being contained in the school. So, this report itself from UNESCO, yes, it does speak volumes. It does speak of a notion in terms of, you know, how best to achieve the leadership empowerment function. But like I said, this is a human trait. This is a human quality. This is not something you can go and measure with saying, okay, this is a standard measure of leadership. It could be leadership in silence also. There could be guys just, you know, keeping their mouth shut and saying, you know what, I'm not speaking up. Because in many cases, the particular supposed work environment I find myself in, the suggestions, proposals, and talking points or, you know, and ideas that were put forward by this individual were all shut down, thrown out of the window, or just dumped into the dustbin. So, yeah, leadership can come from anyone, can come from any dimension, but does the ecosystem exist to empower this dimension? I ask this question, dear listeners, because it's not straightforward. You know, you can have leadership in an army sense, and that could be designated through rank.
Yeah, we don't run a lot of that.
It's not the particular talking point, but I'm driving. But you can see leadership in various scenarios. You can have leadership in rank.
Yeah.
And then potentially you find out that the guy, he was probably just the most determined at, running a little bit faster, lifting a little bit quicker, shouting a little bit louder, saluting a little bit quicker. His back is just a little bit more straighter. He's just a little bit more straighter than yours. Or all his shooting range tests were top notch, that they were all bullseye strikes. So yeah, that could be probably the difference between one person that has got leadership and another person that has got leadership.
Now, look, if you can take us back to a discussion we had, I think about a month or two ago. I'm not sure if we had a discussion on the 2025 SDG reports.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, on the 2025 SDG progress report, let me just make sure that I have the title right. Now, the Sustainable Development Goals Report 2025. Now, if you have it, you can scroll your way all the way to page 16. Then you can, above, there's a paragraph above the upper secondary table on your right. It sort of like tries to look at learning. Of course, in the beginning, they basically look at, since 2015, 109 million more children and youth have entered schools. So it basically goes to show ever since the implementation of SDGs and the plans that have been made and the implementation that were based on those plans in line with SDG, especially in education, when you look at it from education, it's in line with the SDG number 4. It sort of like try to show that energy of us stepping ourselves on the shoulder that we are making progress, but there is a but somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah. Now that's where the last paragraph now comes in. Paragraph starts with learning quality remains a major concern, which is why I pointed out earlier that this discussion falls into a topic that we had last week about the professionalization or the increase in professionalization of the teaching profession.
Yeah.
That one was not based on it was just, it zoned on, a lot on teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the bill being proposed and the whole nine yards. Now, the 2025 SDG report indicates that globally, the minimum proficiency of primary students stands at 58% in reading and 44% in mathematics in 2019. Now, the reason why I went to that is because it emphasizes reading and mathematics.
Mm.
Now, if you look at the report that we are looking at, the report that we are using today. Now, if you look at the report that we're using today, it starts by emphasizing I spent the whole day trying to pronounce it. Is it Incheon Declaration? This is a city in South Korea. That's where the discussion was said. If you look at Incheon Declaration, and you just scroll all your way to page 35, at least that's where you're going to find the point that I'm going to make. Now, then you go, from 35 indicates the strategies that are going to be followed. Now, all these reports have one thing in common. They have funding, or more like financing. Yeah, financing is the term they use. In terms of, we can make plans. Takes us back to Mr. Shobon's Mike Tyson example.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, the indicating strategies, if you go to just 35, you, targets and indicative strategies. Now you have a 4.1 4.4 is one that was one that got my attention because it emphasizes on why I think the SDGs basically lays the foundation over why the SDG 4 is very important in terms of emphasizing an investment in education. That by 2030, at least that's the goal being set, that by 2030, substantially increase the number of youth and adults who have relevant skills, including technical and vocational skills for employment, decent work, and entrepreneurship. So that means, again, getting a qualification is not enough. Is that qualification, does that qualification opens doors for you to be competitive in that, on the job market in that, in the respective field that you study?
Mm.
So, yes, we have achieved a certain degree of literacy. We have achieved a certain degree of proficiency, maybe in other fields. The question is, can we keep up with the increasing demand in acquiring more knowledge with regards to these fields of study?
I mean, you are right, Helmut, because one of the particular statistics or statements that the report cites is that 62% of countries use a competitive practice for school leaders' recruitment.
Competitive.
So this means definitely there is an incentive, there is a monetary incentive associated to this.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, they state here also that there is no single or one leadership style that actually works. Direct context or different contexts, capacities, and personalities mean that styles probably vary, and that they obviously rightfully do, because each person is different. They also noted that with this obviously combined the different goals that each leader is trying to achieve, which means that their impact is also hard to fully assess. So there's no one kind of style of measuring something if you are using a different pathway to achieve the goals, and I'm using a different path to achieve the same goals as well. So it is a bit weird, Helmut, that they approach things from this particular human trait, obviously, because the SDG development is meant for humans, the education sector in Namibia is meant for humans, human capital development sectors, which is education and health together, are meant for humans. So it's
weird if I ran into a husky doing algebra. Just saying.
Modern science probably is not far off, in terms of that. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we shouldn't actually take that direction, even if we are doing some significant breakthrough. Just don't. The one size fits all discussion is more like the non-promotion of a one size fits all approach when it comes to solving any problem. Is one that I think is very the UN found very emphasizes a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, whether when it comes to energy generation or energy transition, it's not going to be one size fits all, because like we keep the example that we more often use is Albania and Namibia.
Yeah.
They have different environments.
Yeah.
So asking Albania to adopt Namibia's energy transition methods is not fair for Albania, and asking Namibia to adopt the one for Albania is just not going to cut it. Again, we don't have the surface water that Albania has, which they exploit to their advantage in terms of energy generation. Now, and also in leadership, the preamble of the UN Charter starts with "We the people." The emphasis is on people, and the UN themselves, when it comes to describing the level, the type of governance, or more like the method of governance that must be adopted by a country, they are not shoving anything down your throat. The only thing they emphasize is how they're basically looking at how you include the people in your governance.
Mm.
They're just saying you can just pick any form of governance that you want, as long as it's having it's involving the people as much as possible. Now the leadership discussion and education is pretty much the same, because what's good for China may not be good for Namibia. What's good for Denmark may not be good for Botswana.
Yeah.
So finding your strength and basically exploiting them to your advantage is something. It's a brilliant idea for me.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. The time is just a minute past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, like you just heard from a wonderful promo, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. Helmut is getting carried away with our promo, but yes, we've got some new sounds.
It's a new work.
We've got new bling.
It's a work of art.
Yeah. Just to let you know, dear listeners, we are still running the particular winning or the opportunity to win a ticket to the 2025 Windhoek Whiskey Festival. That's obviously coming up this coming weekend. Just to give you once again the question, you can find the answer on our social media again. The question straightforward is, where will the 2025 edition of the Windhoek Whiskey Festival be held? We just want the venue. You can call through at 083-288-401. So far, there is the opportunity to still win a ticket. You have to call through, give us the answer. Ultimately, also remember that you'll have to drop us a text message just for us to verify in terms of your contact details on yourself, because we don't want to share it here on air. Specifically with the rest of Namibia, to be exact. And that will just primarily end in terms of being tomorrow the last day for winning a ticket here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM, and specifically here on The Home Run. So you can call through, give us a short answer, and primarily you could be a lucky winner. Though you still have to remember that we will still have to select the correct answer from any or multitude of answers that were given, and then we'll obviously announce just before we close off today on today's session in terms of closing off and identifying the winner, the successful winner or the lucky winner to that or to winning a ticket to the 2025 edition of the Windhoek Whiskey Festival. Yeah.
So we continue with today's discussion. And now that line is the line for the Windhoek Whiskey Festival is open until the end of the show. Basically, you can still call in. You can still call in. The line is 083-288-401. Remember, guys, it's 401, not 400. Unless you want to, that's the office line. If you don't want to participate in the competition, but if you, if you want to participate in the competition, is 083-288-401. Moving on. So where was I? Allowing member states, allowing member states to basically adopt whether it's energy or education or leadership methods, depending on the environment around them, as long as it's not being done the Austrian painter way. It's a, it's a very, look, it's a very fair way of
why
telling
you
people.
Why are you referencing all?
I know. People always say, okay, where were all the good people when this guy was doing all these things? Why didn't they stop him? The question I more often ask them is, Have you heard of the Night of Long Knives?
Mm.
Because every person that's coming to in power to stay, they have the Night of Long Knives is the first thing they're going to do. They're going to get rid of anyone in powerful position who is going to challenge them. What message do you think that's going to send to an ordinary citizen like Helmut?
Mm.
Challenge me, and it's literally your head on a chopping block. So all you just have to do is when he say jump, say yeah. We are not there, thank heavens. Now, moving on with today's discussion. So, Incheon Declaration again under, in the Incheon Declaration under, implementation, There's a 4.4 that I already emphasized. Under strategies. There's 4.4 that I already emphasized, and then one that I also found resonated a lot with me was 4.7, which says by 2030, at least these are the goals that I said. Just put in mind, this was back in 2015.
Yeah.
By 2030, to ensure that all learners acquire knowledge and skills needed, not wanted, needed. So you need the skills. By 2030, the goal is to ensure that by 2030, all learners acquire knowledge and skills needed to promote sustainable development. Not just the development for today and then tomorrow we don't have a plan. Something you can sustain.
Mm.
Yeah, something to continue, you're building for the future generations, not just for you. That's a monumental task. So sustainable development, including, among others, through education for sustainable development, a sustainable lifestyle, human rights, gender equality. Now, the reason why I jumped straight from 4.4 to 4.7 is because all the subsections from 4.4 to 4.5 are all boys and girls, boys and girls, boys and girls. And like, okay, come on, seriously, it's getting monotonous. Now...
Can never be monotonous.
I know it speaks to inclusivity. Mm. I get that. Yeah, I know it speaks to inclusivity. It's just that it sounded more the same than different. To me. Through education, sustainable development, and a sustainable lifestyle, human rights, gender equality, promotion of culture. This is loaded with basically a bunch of topics we've already covered. Promotion of a culture of peace and non-violence, global citizenship, and appreciation of cultural diversity and culture's contribution to sustainable development. That was in 2015. Fast forward to 2020, now SDG, how much progress have we done? Well, at least we are over 50% in terms of literacy. Which is making me go like...
Did you see... Okay. I'll actually explain that part later.
Yes. Yeah, it was last year when the UN Secretary General said the SDG report makes for a sobering reading.
Yeah. There's even more concern there, Helmut, because... In this education scenario of things, which is obviously a global view.
Yeah.
Now, a little bit earlier, when this particular unveiling situation happened now here in Windhoek, is that specifically the guy who compiled this report, Manos Antoninis, from the particular entity that is in charge, that is selected according to the Incheon declaration to compile and monitor progress of educational developments across the world. His particular context is that, Helmut, that on the African continent, there is very few countries that shared information. Richer countries, which are more developed countries than us, are actually seeing mathematical rates decreasing. It decreased by 1 percentage point, as he said, but it was, that 1 percentage point over a collection of countries obviously shouts volumes, because that 1 percentage point would say that's a lot of kids that are impacted. But remember, we started off on the leadership dimension of things, which I said literally, it's a little bit of a tricky thing to try and achieve. Because this means now you need the most important variable in the whole SDG success rate to actually be more empowered. And that variable is us, the humans. So it's up to us to achieve the goals. It's up to us to make the things work. It's up to us to implement. It's up to us to monitor. And it's up to us to give feedback from that monitoring and evaluation that we've conducted. Yeah. That then translates into, that lovely graphic and all the SDG reports that you and I
had covered. Okay, technically, we only covered two guys, just to let you know. We covered last year's and we covered this year's. This year's one was slightly more...
positive.
No, it wasn't actually positive.
In comparison to the one for last year.
The things were hidden.
Wait, what?
The things were hidden. Remember when I said last week that the 2025 SDG report was written by economists that were contracted by the UN? And it literally, the lead guy is Jeffrey Sachs. Him and other economists literally compiled that report.
Mm-hmm.
But the report of last year was a report that the UN went out specifically.
Like where they went in the field.
And then they said, give us your data. Give us your info. You Namibia, how far are you? You Zimbabwe, what are you doing?
I'm so disappointed in Jeffrey Sachs.
That's why also the language is a little bit different between that report and the previous year's report. That's also why Guterres this year was like, it is a pivotal time, and then he flows into the political
lingo
that
we're doing great.
Yeah, not saying we don't doing. He's also not saying we're doing bad. It's just, you know,
somewhere in between.
Just we must stay committed, stick to the same road plan. Let's get back on track of things. You think he would divulge one thing here, and then no, and you brought back onto the lane. Where as opposed to last year, it started right off. His speech, his everything, his foreword, literally word for word. This makes for sobering reading. So when someone says sobering reading, guys, they're literally saying, I probably was drunk with some other ideas. Now it literally shook those ideas out of my whole psyche as a human. And I'm just fixated on we are achieving an imminent doom because none of us are on track for the SDGs.
It is also, it's giving the vibe of, it is my painful duty to inform you.
Ahmed, who said that stuff? My painful duty.
The Three Idiots. The movie. There's a, you know, there's a part where they, you know, screw up so bad. You know, their professor calls, you know, catches one of them and, you know, gives him a laptop to, you know, to type his own suspension letter.
Mm.
Yeah. That's where the professor goes, oh, you know, just keep typing. Dear Mr. and Mrs. then mentions the guy's parents. It is my painful duty to tell you that your child has been suspended. Like, man, this is diabolical.
Yeah, that those are levels.
It's basically Antonio Guterres' painful duty to inform us that,
you know, we're not on track.
Yeah, oh no, we're not. Some goals are in reverse.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to be fixated too much on the leadership dimension now, because they even mention here in the short summary that specifically policymakers have to face, or should, or they technically already face the challenge. That how to ensure that people with the right skills and the vision are identified, selected, prepared, and then supported as supposed leaders. Because you could be a teacher, you could be a parent on the school board, and you're not, you know, paid for your leadership. You could even be a concerned community member who is probably 100 years old, and you have a leadership skill.
Yeah.
A leadership dimension. Your kids are already grown, fully grown adults. They've completed school. They are fending for their own livelihoods.
Yeah.
So the dimension here is a very tricky one, because when you had to look at planning pre-Namibia's independence, and when I say pre-planning, Helmut, I'm talking about literally, you knew the infrastructure was then installed, and you knew that there were posts that needed to be filled.
Yeah.
And then the core thing was then you had people filling them. These were the teachers. You had people filling them. When you come to the Namibian context, the minister herself in the address today stated once again, they still have the persisting issue of vacancies in the rural schools. Now, obviously, we've already sort of like abused your example, but before that, we've got the ad break.
with either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Minutes past the hour of 5. Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. So,
Before we continue,
vacant positions.
Yeah, just before we continue, just remember, dear listeners, the opportunity to win a ticket to the 2025 Vintook Whiskey Festival is still ongoing. Do remember, all you've got to do is answer the very straightforward question: Where will the venue be held for the 2025, or what is the venue for the 2025 Vintook Whiskey Festival? And the tickets are proudly sponsored by Temasa Fine Wine Merchants, and each ticket is valued at $400 Namibian. So, straightforward stuff. Just call through at 083-288-401. Please not 400-401. Nope. We don't want a certain individual, you know, telling us that we've got to go answer our phone calls over there at the front desk. Please, guys, it's 401 straight here through to Helmut and I. We'll be able to assist you in terms of, firstly, we have our short entertainment in terms of you answering the question. And secondly, the extension of obviously proudly announcing a lucky winner later today.
Yeah, and the competition closes tomorrow.
Yeah, so just let you know. Final opportunity is obviously tomorrow.
Yeah, quickly.
Yeah, so when we look at that
instance, positions in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere, you know, the bush teaching initiative. I know.
Look, bush teachers. That was Dwight.
Yeah, it's just me adding things on. It is a unique thing, Helmut, because obviously our mandate in Namibia. Oh, it's not my mandate. It's the ministry's mandate. The ministry's mandate is to ensure that everyone is exposed to the same level of education or to education. But the downside is you obviously still have, you know, and we can confidently say this, many particular people that are exposed to urban areas, specifically Vintook, they will ask you the straightforward question: why would I want to go and be a teacher in a far-flung remote area?
Yeah.
They would also then ask specifically, you know, what would be the particular incentive? The incentive exists. You shared the incentive.
Yeah, they are.
The incentive exists. But there is obviously a particular acclimatization that the individual faces. And then there's obviously also other particular factors like, you know, other services like internet services and other particular services for both the school, the teachers, the community, you know, obviously try to get more knowledge, because you can also just innovate, invent, be a change maker when obviously you've got information close at hand. I mean, Helmut, the internet is a wonderful invention.
Absolutely.
The internet has had the possibility for people who were in many cases not exposed to books that would never be sold in Namibia. They are exposed to information digitally. So, in many cases, the opportunity is there potentially for someone just, you know, you just show a little bit more guts, a little bit more backbone in terms of initiative, and you motivate. Because one of the particular concerns has also been that it was shared that, you know, there's always the strict adherence to the communication channels that exist within the education sector. Now, this could potentially be a teaching, you know, the school board, which consists of teachers and parents. The school board might have an idea And then the principal could say, you know what, but, you know, if you want something to happen here, you guys would have to bring the money. Now, I know that's a big concern in the modern Namibia that we live in. But I can tell you so many success stories where literally the parents said, this is for a good cause at the same education institution that my child is attending.
Yeah.
They show up, Helmut. I mean, when I started high school in 1998 in Rehoboth, those teachers, that principal would just ask once, please go and ask your fathers, those of you that are farmers, that we need compost for our sports field. And then lo and behold, the Friday, I don't know who was told to go and collect all the cow dung on the farms, but then they show up, that compost, all, you know, for the sports field.
So if you do that now, it's...
You should see, okay, look, people are individuals,
yeah.
But it's also a scenario of you've got to be exposed to which particular, let's call it, school and parents, ecosystem. If it's a school and parents ecosystem from a private school setting, I've got a younger brother and an older brother who's got kids on private school settings. If you go to those things, the parents know they've got to play a role. Those teachers just write you a nice letter. But you even feel the pain before you read the letter that yes, there's an activity you thought you were gonna, you know, just relax a little bit on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Now you realize you've literally gotta be one of those parents that have to be present in terms of ensuring that there's extra supervision and extra hands at, you know, making things work the Saturday.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a social setting based around a school. But then it resonates back to the time when I played under 13 rugby. We were picked up in our team because at that stage in 1997, Rehoboth was literally classified as a sub-constituency itself. So we had to face off against Windhoek East, which Windhoek East is all the side of Windhoek up until Kleine Cooper. So I'm talking about from Eros, you pull it all the way to Kleine Cooper. And we had to face Hartap and Karas and who was the other region? We were like four or five teams. So we get there, we wait in the Rehoboth, and then the bus pulls up, and it's a Sederhof Primary School bus. Bus pulls up. Guess who's with the two school coaches who are teachers of the primary school? It's two parents. No, it was actually four parents and two teachers, and another teacher was the bus driver. We just had two teachers who were our coaches accompanying us to Marintal.
And four parents?
No, our team.
Yeah.
Just had two teachers. The bus, the team that came to pick us up, because we hitchhiked with them.
Yeah.
They had four parents and three teachers at least, because the one teacher was the bus driver that accompanied this whole endeavor in terms of being that extra supervisory function and the likes for these under 13 boys that have to go play in Marintal. Now, when you look at a scenario like that, you can obviously see this is a community approach, going the extra mile and the likes. This also then speaks volumes in terms of how we view a school. Because if a school is not viewed as a social installation that actually your whole society should be based around on, the question then should be one that cites, you know what, this is an interesting, that this is a particularly important installation that technically has to carry profound value for the community that it serves. But then, in many cases, and yes, I speak to my brothers, speak to my sisters-in-law, and I speak to other people that are parents. You should see how much the annoyance that they have with some parents specifically about the approaches that they take. Some parents believe, no, the teachers must be the babysitters for one half of the day. The teacher is a professional. That's the reason why the teaching professions consultation is taking place.
Yeah.
They want to elevate that level. The teacher is a professional. even if it's a relief teacher, that person is a professional. A professional is a aspect of leadership because you are viewed as a expert in the function you're conducting.
Yeah.
You and I are viewed as being in a leadership role, Helmut, because we are viewed as being experts at public speaking and dissemination of information and engaging on interesting topics and discussions here on The Home Run.
That's not very good for my ego.
We are viewed as it, Helmut. You can't do away with the label because, just like I said, started with at the start, you know, leadership is a weird thing to focus on in a global report.
Like in a general discussion.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. Because you can have guys that have leadership before you even know that they are in a leadership role. Or you can have guys that have leadership, and I'm sorry for using the word guy, which just predominantly, you know, places a gender focus on the discussion. But you can have people that, in a social setting, let's say you go to you're invited to a braai or to a party, and you're just silent the whole night. But it doesn't mean that you have no alpha male, you know, tendencies or capabilities. It's just probably you don't know anyone there. Or you get invited to the same braai and you know everyone there, and then they found out you are literally the loudest mouth there.
That's me.
I'm giving an example, doch, man.
What? No. Every time I find myself in social settings surrounded by people that I don't know,
yeah,
the quietest guy ever. Until someone I know shows up.
Yeah.
Then the mouth opens and ruins everything.
Yeah, but then it's still a conversation. And it's still positive interactions.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't have the muscles for negative interactions.
Hey, man, some guys also view that as positive. But then you just have to interrogate the, you know, what's the real aspect here? But you are right in that scenario.
Now, every time we have these discussions of basically everything related to education and its elevation because that's the term that was used mostly in the event that we, in the discussion that we covered last week. Now, when it comes to elevation, I keep going back to, the example that you have used like several times with regards to the technical skills that's needed by the local content individual, the locals to build up the local content policy that's needed by locals to participate in the green hydrogen, in the projects like the green hydrogen project, for example. Is it the NQF level that's needed for one to participate in the industry?
And there you see that
it's very scarce here.
Yeah. And there you see the leadership coming in multiple dimensions.
Yeah.
So this could be something like a terms and conditions be applied from the project manager of the group, of the project. So we're saying, this can be, this could be the overall green hydrogen program that then states, we want these qualifications.
Yeah.
To assist in the endeavor entirely. And then you can have another ones like the NTA saying, we offer these particular things and we're looking for this kind of, Namibian to participate in these functions or in these training scenarios. And on the ground, you would then have the regional offices that play a leadership role there.
Now, my God, I didn't know this thing was this big. 200 and something. 264.
What's the declaration?
Not the declaration, the 2025 education.
Oh, the report.
Yeah, the report.
Yeah, it's a massive thing.
Report. Yeah, it's a massive thing. Page 264, they basically zone on in, they zone in on teachers. Where, they first emphasize the goal that have to be reached by 2030 with regards to teaching as a profession, and he points out that by 2030 substantially increase the supply of qualified teachers, including through international corporations for teacher training in developing countries, especially the least developed countries and small island states. Then they look at the global indicator, and the first thing they are looking at is the the proportion of teachers with minimum qualified required qualifications by education level. But before we continue, commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. Please don't forget, we still have 30 minutes left for you to participate in the competition you could be the lucky winner and you'd be able to walk away with $400 Namibian worth of a ticket. And all you have to do is call 0832-888-401 and answer a simple question, and that is, where is the 2025 Windhoek Festival, Windhoek Whiskey Festival going to take place? Where is the 2025 Whiskey Festival going to take place? And that, now the tickets are, you know, the competition has been running since last week. It's ending tomorrow, and you could be one of the lucky winner. All you just have to do is call 0832-888-401 and answer that simple question. The tickets are a courtesy of Tamasa Fine Wine Merchants. So, to continue. Before we continue. Bills. ShopRite Liquor Shop boasts low prices on cocktails, wine, beer, and all your spirit needs. Pay just $169 and 99 cents each for Russian Bear flavored vodka, Gordon's London Dry Gin, and Scottish Collie Scotch Whiskey. Rock Bay Dark Ram for $154 and 99 cents, and a VAT 69 Scotch Whiskey for only $179 and 99 cents. ShopRite Liquor Shop for smart savings. Alcohol not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Get to a ShopRite Liquor Shop and gear up for your Braai celebration and at unbeatable prices. Since 6 500 ml cans Windhoek Premium Draft for $79 and 99 cents. High Commissioner Brandy and Cola for $132 and 99 cents for 640 milliliter cans. 3 liters Namaqua Sweet Rosé boxed wine for only $128 and 99 cents. KWV white wine selected for just $69 and 99 cents. Budget savings at ShopRite Liquor Shops. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18. So the teaching part, the proportion of teachers with the minimum required qualification by education level. So the education level or the qualification level being in, you know, here. I think speaks not only for teachers, but for all, you know, for all disciplines. Mm. Whether you are in, you know, whether you are in engineering or teaching on all level from primary all the way to tertiary, you know, all the way to tertiary, or whether you are in, you know, in agricultural fields.
Yeah.
Increasing your qualification to the level where you are able to stay competitive with regards to the job market is just as significant because, well, there was a time when, I know that was, you know, that's a very terrible example to use. It turns out there was a time when people were, you know, where not an honors degree was required for one to work as a teacher, for example. Now, yeah, and they were recruited, but obviously you have seen that the qualifications required for one to participate in something that was looked at as more like simple as teaching, for example, have gone up, and to basically sort of like look at where the profession is headed, all you have to do is look at, look at Finland. Finland is this country that is, touted the world over as having the best education qualification, you know, the best education the world can offer. They are very good at offering the service of education. And then you can't help but ask yourself one question, like, okay, what's their magic trick? Mm. Until you find out what qualification you need for you to be a teacher in that country. It's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but now, if we would like to achieve the level of education of the education service provision that that the Finnish have, one thing that we have to elevate is the professionalism in terms of qualifications of who should become a teacher. Come 2030, you'll be needing a master's for you to be a teacher.
Are you saying in Namibia, or are you saying like in a?
Okay, no, let me not scare you, people. Yeah, you have to understand this is Helm talking, not Senate Steenkamp. The point I'm trying to make is that if we want to achieve the level of education, the level of education in terms of education as a service provision that the Finnish have, and we all look at Finland and go like, oh man, we would like to reach that level of education, in terms of providing the service of that quality.
Mm.
But one thing that the Finnish have done is that for one to stand in the class and teach, they have, they are asking for qualifications that we are not asking for yet. But from the look of things, that's where we are headed. Because where we are is not where we were 20 years ago. At some point, maybe all you needed was a certificate. Now you need an honors.
And here's the thing also, Helmut. The aim, obviously, and I have to stress this aim, this is an overall goal,
yeah,
is that Namibia, for anyone that has not yet read the NTP6, Namibia's aim is modernization. We are modernizing, trying to modernize Namibia.
Yeah.
Not just industrialization, because you can't think of industrialization separate from the overall goal,
education,
or even from the modernization approach,
yeah.
Because what our political leaders have not used as yet, the word itself, yeah, is modernization. In many cases, they might have said, trying to achieve or trying to develop a workforce or Namibians for the future, through the education policies and stuff, yeah, like that. The actual goal is that Namibia wishes to be on a specific level where Namibians can, yeah, go and find a job anywhere else in the world. Because obviously one of the particular aims of the consultations on the teachers bill,
yeah,
is that they wish to have a certification. You must be, like you said, a recognized, certified professional in the sector.
Yeah.
Now, when you've got that particular approach stepping in, Helmut, then you should technically be asking the question of, so how was the profession viewed before? Because to say that a recognized, certified professional, okay, a certified professional from a recognized training institute, that's what they wish to achieve,
yeah,
should then tell you that if you don't have this,
you
can't demand that level of money.
Yep.
Which technically is the same thing when you approach the medicine field.
Yeah.
When you approach the engineering field.
Yeah.
When you approach the legal field. All of them have a central body for registration purposes,
yeah,
and they all have an act that governs them.
Yeah.
Look, you can be a trained, qualified engineer from a university with your degree and all that, but the moment you start practicing, you should be registered, has been one of the many particular talking points. And you should be registered with that body, that engineering council that is recognized by the Ministry of Works and Transport. So, in those scenarios, this obviously shows you, firstly, government regulation. Secondly, it means that you wish to It's like in the financial sector where a country's particular money is being disputed in terms of its value, but the moment a government says, you know what, but this is our money, so this is what we do, and then everyone goes, okay, the country doesn't run away. You know that the country won't give you a scam call or scam address or fake stuff like that or catfish you on any other details. You will know where the country is today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
However, you can see that this global report, Helmut, starts questioning a specific dimension. While in Namibia, when you and I did the teaching professions bill discussion, the government or Namibia has already started a process to answer certain particular questions. Because the moment, Helmut, that bill becomes an act.
Yes.
Okay. They're still firstly seeking public engagement and consultations and feedback and inputs.
Yeah.
Into what must be contained in the thing.
Then the whole thing goes to parliament.
Then the thing gets drafted, it gets thrown in front of parliament, and then from there, if people are happy in parliament, it then becomes an act, gets gazetted.
Just give it another, 100 years.
Yeah. That too, yeah. Give it another 100 years. When you look at that dimension, then it technically means, like you said, by 2030, people will have masters, and then they'll technically be in a pay grade, because that's all I'm seeing, is that they will be in a pay grade where they will be on par with certain particular professions in Namibia in terms of their earnings capability.
Yeah.
I do feel sorry for my communication field, because you have any... What animal can I use, Humbert?
Okay, I can't believe you went.
You have any antelope that just walks into the barn,
Just say, all you can eat.
Exactly. I mean, now you I understand, because it sort of like creates an aspect of envy.
Yeah.
Specifically in me, I'm not just giving a personal viewpoint.
Yeah.
It creates this envy that I also want to see the professionalism scenario being enacted. But then you also cite that within an industry there can be splits, for example.
Yeah.
Like in the media landscape, you've got the Editors Forum of Namibia. You've got the Namibian Media Practitioners Union that was recognized last year by the former Ministry of Labor. Because it was also now another particular merged ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two different views. But both those two entities have two different views about the media landscape in Namibia, the sector itself. You could be a photographer and you are part of the media landscape, but you are selling your pictures to, those digital platforms online. You could be a photographer. So the aspect of a sector like that, in many cases, I remember back in the early 2000s and in the 2010s, there were discussions going about that government should be a regulator of all communication mediums, which also includes all private media installations.
Yeah.
Which obviously would make any person nervous, because technically that means, those guys that love throwing stones at the government. But yeah.
It
just shows you the realm at which it's going, because that's some of the, I don't want to use the word vibes, but it's giving off those vibes, the Global Education Monitoring Report, that you need a specific kind of a professional working in the education sector to be the teacher, to be the principal, and so forth.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they need a specific kind of a person. Which obviously shows you that the work that's going on the ground here, when you and I looked at the teaching bill consultations,
yeah,
is literally that mechanism that's going to feed into achieving a specific goal. And that's ultimately what SDG 4 is about. You've got to achieve that goal of that teaching professions bill.
Before we continue, we have a commercial break coming up, but don't forget you can still participate in the competition that we have running here. The line is 083-288-401. Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. Let's go for it.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. It's 15 minutes to the hour of 6. Now, so basically where we're headed is every discipline is going to have a strict requirement of who participates and who doesn't based on the qualifications they're able to they're able to provide. That's the goal. Now, they have a lot of implementation plans. Basically documented coming out of 2015, Incheon Declaration. One thing, both the 2025 Global Reports on Education and the Incheon Declaration have in common is they do lay down what the goal must what the goal is. That's one. Now after the goals, they go straight to how they are going to implement these goals and where the finance is going to come from. Now, when it comes to financing, they emphasize a lot local contribution towards the financing of sustainable development goals, especially number four that they zone on, in terms of emphasizing yes, they could be alternative financing somewhere, but the most important thing when it comes to financing that we want to push is that let the central government emphasize financing. And then they say something that is going to make you go, that's interesting. Now, the Oslo, it turns out they also had, a discussion in Oslo, Norway. The same year that the transition discussion was held in South Korea. And they're all based on education. Now, the Oslo Summit on Education in July of 2015, the third international conference on financing for development in Addis Ababa, again in 2015, affirmed that a significant increase in finance is required to achieve SDG number 4, basically all the SDGs, while financing is required. Now, the full realization of SDG 4 Education 2030 agenda requires sustained, innovative, and well-targeted financing and efficient implementation arrangements, especially in those countries furthest from achieving quality education for all. Quality education for all levels and emergency for all levels in emergency situations. Now, education on all levels, and then they do cover a bunch of stuff. They provide two points that can be adopted by different countries. Just adopt it. Take your pick.
Yeah.
You can pick one or do both. In the Addis Ababa Action Agenda, this is the one that was also the same one that was held again in 2015 earlier, encourages countries to set nationally appropriate spending targets for education. Okay, this is the same problem basically that you come across when you read the overall SDG goal, you know, more like status update. Financing, and we talked about this. We are buying guns. Okay, we are investing in weapons more than we are in development, but our overall goal is to develop, which is very counterintuitive. Now, national contexts are diverse, but the following international and regional benchmarks are crucial. Crucial reference points. Allocating at least 4 to 6% of gross domestic product to education, or allocating at least 15 to 20% of public expenditure to education. I still don't understand that first one. Allocating at least 4 to 6% of GDP on education. Understand the second one, because, well, that's the one that we do.
It means somewhat that governments have to take seriously the education sector itself of their countries. Meaning, spend a significant amount of money on scaling, training, teaching, and developing workforces. Your education sector is directly linked to your economy.
Now, back to discussion we had about a week or two ago. Globally, because this is education on a global education discussion on a global level, what are we spending more on? Minus Namibia, I think, on that one. A lot of UN member states who committed to SDGs, who are committed to SDGs, are spending more on weapons than they are on developmental goals, hence the D in SDG. So we want to develop, but we are spending all the energy, effort, and money on building stuff that will blow, literally and figuratively, blow up the development. Now, if you ask me, this whole planet needs therapy. Now, I totally agree with with the meme of I think, you know, aliens have found us. They found us a long time ago. They just look at what we do and go like, we don't want to be part of that.
Look, it's when you look at the GDP discussion, it is literally a scenario of saying, you've got to achieve adequate investment levels meant for the most important sector, and then obviously you've actually got two of them. You need to invest in your health, and you need to invest in your education. You need to be able to look after your population. You need to be able to educate the same population. But you then sit with a scenario where Namibia is anyway, our two biggest ministries are literally health and education. Even before the reshuffling, the mergers and the likes, they were still the two biggest ministries. In terms of their responsibility and their mandate. Now, Namibians probably might not have an idea in terms of looking at, you know, planned projects and the likes. The scenario obviously has been, and it always boils down to that micro example of last year where the former Minister of Finance, Shimi, was asked by those two ladies in the civil society's realm, you know, do you have any say in particularly another ministry's particular projects, programs, and outreach initiatives?
Not being prioritized in terms of funding,
Exactly. So, the Minister of Finance can't do anything if Minister of Education says, hey, listen, we first have to build certain schools. Hence the reason for that in Dama's school situation of last week. If you read the report that Anna Kleta wrote, where it says the Ministry of Education will prioritize formally constructing something in Ndama in 2026. This means after next year's budget unveiling. Not today.
No, not today.
Which also has to tell Namibians.
This year.
Yeah. Which also has to tell Namibians, this is a large organization, a government. that is slow to react, unless it's like a serious crisis. Then you actually see a few things being done, a few pen strokes happening, and a few documents flying about, which then changes everyone's life. And we all know when that happened, during COVID.
Yeah.
So, we have to view the education monitoring through, it'll be a selfish perspective because, the selfish perspective comes from, you know, that obviously education is saying they want a particular portion dedicated to themselves. And the other sectors that obviously the government is responsible for, yeah, you guys have to compete there for the last pieces of, you know, of that pie, that what's left there, the remainder of that pie.
Yeah.
So, a scenario like that has to tell people that in context, and I mean even in the 2023 discussion, the education sector had a unique particular thing, meaning that in 2023 to 2024, Namibia spent 20 billion, or we allocated 20 billion Namibian dollars to the education sector, which translated to 9.4% of our GDP. That's a big amount of money.
In other words,
so we are well above the 6% level. What was the other? What was the other requirement that they stated there as well? The second one.
The second one, allocating at least 15 to 20%
of. Hey! Yeah, so that means add another 10 billion.
Yep.
Add another 10 billion. Look, it'll help. It'll help with the, it'll help with a job creation initiative. Yeah, that extra 10 billion. But that's if NAMRA is collecting an extra 10 billion.
Yeah, but well, every time NAMRA tries to do that, you begin to
happen. Here's another scenario.
That's how much money you need.
That's how much you would need, yeah. So the spectrum is two levels. Yeah. The lowest being at least raise it to 4 to 6, if you're not, if you haven't. And if you are above the 4 to 6, try to achieve the 20% mark. Try to achieve the 20% mark. No, it's not an extra 10 billion. I'm lying. It's an extra 20 billion. It's an extra 20 billion. It's an extra 20 billion. But I mean, hey, obviously we'll have to look at the numbers. For the 2024-2025, in terms of how that grew. And obviously, we know that it changed, obviously, for 2025-2026. But before we continue, guys, we'll quickly be taking a short live read. Vavitcha University, where the 2026 applications are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences. Certificate in Pharmacy, Level 5. Certificate in Health Science Foundation, Level 5. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife, or Acupuncture, Level 6. Diploma in Environmental Health Science, Level 6. Bachelor of Social Work Honours. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8. And Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vavitcha University, where everyone is an achiever. Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to $1 million Namibian in cash. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. All you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2 liters, 1.25 liter, or 600 ml bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845 # punch in your code, follow the prompts to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to the Coca-Cola social media pages to watch the video on how to enter the competition.
Welcome back. It's just a minute to the hour of six. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. But before we round it up or sign off, let's take another commercial break.
When life gifts you an unexpected expense...
How must I afford a new phone now?
Take control with Express Credit. Get reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 90,000.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. The time is just a minute past the hour of 6. That brings us to the end of today's discussion. You have UN member states all over 170, 80 or 90 of them. When it comes to development, the overall report of on sustainable development goals is that some are in stagnation mode, aka they have not moved in a while, and some are going in reverse, and those that are moving at a very sluggish pace. Now, today's discussion was more just zoning in on SDG number 4 that emphasizes the quality of, you know, increasing the quality of education for all UN member states or more like signatories of SDGs, basically every UN member states by 2030. You have the blueprint and everything drawn, and including the amount of financing it's going to need. Don't worry, we're gonna get there. The emphasis is on as much financing as possible must come from inside the country. In other words, everyone is busy revamping their education infrastructure, both the service and the physical infrastructure that is needed to provide the service. Yeah. So, 15 to 20% of your GDP, at least.
At least.
At least.
At least?
No, they didn't say at least. That's just me, you know, making it worse.
Yeah, well, a lot of money.
Yeah. So, 3 minutes into the hour of business and economic segment, this is where Home Run parks the bus. Until tomorrow, same time, same place.
On that note, guys, stay tuned for the rest of the programming, specifically with David, before he chases it out, which actually is already doing his arm motions, yeah?
Just a quick reminder, guys. Tomorrow is payday. Just remember, no parties at cemeteries. Thank you.
Please.
Yeah. Yes. Leave the dearly departed alone.